Let's pray, shall we? Let's begin with prayer. Our gracious God and our Father, we do come to you now in this hour to reflect upon our church and its responsibility to disciple the nations. And we ask that you would encourage our hearts as we think upon what it is that our church is doing in its small portion that you've given to us of that wider church that you are building. We thank you for the work you've given to us. And again, Father, help us to be encouraged that Christ is indeed fulfilling his promise to build his church. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. All right, you should have a handout. Everybody have a handout? There, Edgar was passing them out in the back. You need a handout? We don't want anybody left out. Do you guys have? You do? You do not. You do have them. Okay, you're just playing with me. All right, good for you. Well done. All right, if you need a handout, Edgar, is there some in the back there?
No, we ran out. But
we ran out? Okay, then we have more. We got more. We got plenty. We got plenty. All right, so you have a handout, and this is to introduce to us the work of Christian education of the OPC. So Eric kind of gave you a broad picture last week that worldwide outreach, the thank offering goes to worldwide outreach. Worldwide outreach has its three branches of our denominational activity. These are the three, they're not just standing committees, these are program committees. And those committees, again, are the Committee of Christian Education, which we're going to hear about today, the Committee of Home Missions, and then Foreign Missions. So Christian Ed, Home Missions, and then Foreign Missions. Next week we'll hear about Foreign Missions and talk about that. But today we want to talk about Christian Education. On your handout, you can see that date, 1936, should be familiar to you. This is the beginning of the OPC. In that same year, we had more than one General Assembly. And at the very first assembly, the OPC said we need to make sure we begin the work of Christian education, that this was vital to our work. And perhaps it's fair to say that most especially from the Dutch contingent contributing to the OPC, this is something that the Dutch Reformed Church has been very keen on. It's one of its points of, you could say, zeal in a way that we have really profited from it as a church. And so I gave you this is extracted from the minutes from the Second General Assembly, that this Committee on Christian Education, which had just been formed, wants to express itself that this is part of the reason that the former church failed, was the way, it uses very strong language here. I'm not going to read it. You can read it for yourself. The way in which the mother church had just absolutely been corrupted from within in this and had not been diligent about Christian education. And so from the very beginning, the Orthodox Presbyterian Church wanted to remedy this and make sure that this would be a strong element in the discipleship of our people. And as we move along in this, I want you to just keep in mind that this Committee on Christian Education is committed to make sure that every member of our church, from the youngest age to the oldest, has in their hands all the resources they need to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. Every member, not just ministers, not just elders or deacons, that we are doing everything we can to equip our people in Christ. That's the kernel of it. I've been on this committee since 2005, and 2 years ago was elected president. I'm still curious as to how that happened. I was as surprised as, I was on a conference call, and Carol walks into the living room, this is in Wheaton, and she mouths, "What's wrong?" And I said, "This, what's happening right now? I just got nominated as president and nobody warned me." And it's like, what's happened? It's like a coup? You know, what's happening? So anyway, and so that really kind of forced me to pay attention to what we're doing, you know. I'd just been a member, you know, it was Easy Street, and I had responsibilities on the committee. But this has been 2 years of really learning about what our committee is all about. So one of the first tasks I asked Danny Olinger to do, Danny Olinger is a general secretary. So these three committees all have their general secretaries. And two of them, Home Missions, Foreign Missions, have associate general secretaries because they need two guys to do one man's job. Because our committee, Christian, we have one guy. And he is a beast, you know, Danny Olinger. He's very competitive. He's a former baseball player. But he can do it, and I love his attitude. But I asked him, I said, let's go back to the beginning, and let's see if we can find like a charter for our committee, like some sort of mission statement. Zip. We've just been doing what we've been doing. So I thought, okay, well, it's working. Let's not mess it up. I thought, we need to come together with a mission statement. No, we don't. And the work is pretty clear what we have to do, and we'll cover that. So Danny Olinger is our general secretary. We have 15 committee members. I had this on my notes, which I forgot to bring. It's amazing how widespread it is across the United States. Committee members from Maine, Florida, Joel Fick. You guys know that name, Joel Fick. He's on our committee. California has three representatives because we're so awesome. David Van Drunen, David Winslow, you know that name, and myself. So we represent California. Georgia, like I said, Maine, New Hampshire, Pennsylvania, New York, Texas, Illinois, Michigan. It's an amazing widespread across the denomination. 9 ministers and 6 elders. It is an incredible committee. We have so much talent. We are strongly unified, doing good work, kind of examining what we've done before to see, can we do something better, and coming up with new things as well. I put the names of the staff here because these are the people that never get mentioned. They're behind the scenes. There's one name that's missing that I'll mention. Abigail Harding is the office secretary. She's the one we call. She puts together all the things for our meetings and all the tedious stuff that needs to be done. Carol and I have known Abigail since she was about this tall when I used to speak at French Creek Bible Conference. New Horizons, this is primarily who does the work. Judith Dinsmore is the managing editor. Danny Olinger is the manager, so the buck stops with him. But Judith came on about a year and a half ago, has done an incredible job. Diane Olinger is the editorial assistant, Sarah Peterson, proofreader, and Christopher Tobias. He's the one that does the covers. Every now and then you see a cover, it's like, wow, that's kind of interesting. You could talk to Christopher about that. But really, he's done a great job for us. Some of the covers have been really fantastic. Ordained servant, that's Greg Reynolds. But he also has an editorial assistant, Aaron Yassar. This is Bullet Yassar's wife. And Bullet is now the pastor at St. Augustine, where Eric came from. He's the pastor down there, and his wife helps with ordained servant. Just to kind of give you a sense of this, if you're a member of the OPC, you get this for free. You just simply have to give the email.
And I just sent that list to Chuck, Tip.
Okay.
And I added all the new people, but if you don't get it by like January or February, let me know and I'll make sure I add your name.
So all you have to do is give your name and this can come to your address for free. All right, and it's wonderful articles in it. Also, every issue has a prayer list. I'm getting there. It starts here. Every month has a prayer list there, and you'll see pictures of our church planners or some of the office or an intern, somebody like that. And then also, every November issue, Carol reminded me of this. You'd think I would know what our committee is all about. But November issue, you can take it apart, and you have this. It lists the staff of the people I just mentioned from Christian Ed, all the MTI instructors. You'll see some familiar faces there. All of our summer interns, year-long interns. And so Christian Rep is in here. And so is Jason Vartanian. Actually, I didn't look to see if the Vartanian's picture's in here or not. But anyway, it is. Very good. Thank you. I have my assistant there. So New Horizons and then Ordained Servant. This is for ordained ministers and elders. And this comes to you as well. You can get it electronically. You can get this PDF. You can download it for your Kindle. You can get it any way you want. We'll send it to you by Stork if you need it. But this comes by mail after the end of the year. Everything is published in this. This has really become a very, very good publication, in my opinion. It's just really, really improved over the years. So there are all those people. Pat Clausen, she used to be the secretary. She now coordinates MTI. She will be here. We'll talk about that in a second, in the spring. I'm sorry, in January. And then Judy Alexander, who helps with the Timothy Conference. So if you turn your piece of paper over, let's get now to the nitty-gritty. If you think of the Committee on Christian Ed, and please don't be overwhelmed and blown away by these high-tech graphics we have here, that box. That took me like 35 minutes to come up with that, but I'm just kidding. But think of the Committee of Christian Ed is split into two major committees. There are two major subcommittees, subcommittee on ministerial training, and then subcommittee on resources for the churches. So let's start with SMT, that's what we call it, Subcommittee on Ministerial Training. And I've listed it in the order of the age in which that particular subcommittee or that activity engages people. So we start with the Timothy Conference. This began, I want to say, about 12 years ago. This was the brainchild of David Van Drunen. He's preached here before, a professor at Westminster Seminary. And he said, we need something where we can engage young men who may be interested in the ministry or maybe show signs of giftedness for the ministry and just kind of, you know, present what the OPC is, take him to a seminary, let him sit in a class, meet other guys around age who have the same questions. And we've been doing this. This has been a great success. And we usually have a waiting list of men that would like to come, young men would like to come. So 16 to 21 is the age. I've participated in a few of these. These are really great. They hear from a professor of that local seminary, a couple local ministers, and then Danny Olinger, David Van Drunen participates to talk about, you know, what is the ministry? How do you understand your call to the ministry? Things like that. And then usually you have some social activity with them. When they came to the Chicago area, I was outvoted. We took all these young men to an art museum, which I thought was made no sense whatsoever when the Chicago Cubs were in town. And unfortunately, I mentioned that in front of one of the young men who was like, what? We could have gone to the Cubs? Watching these guys trying to be really polite and look at the art. It's like, wow, this is really interesting, you know? So, but it's really fun. We have great discussions. And we've had men that went through the Timothy Conference and who are now ordained ministers. Tammy?
We hosted the very first Timothy Conference.
Oh, is that right?
And we took the guys to the beach.
We don't have an art museum in Escondido? Or... So this is coming to town. This is coming to our church in the spring. And I forgot the dates. April, something like that. So...
Tammy still gets to know we're taking them to the beach. I'm actually supposed to be coordinating surf / evangelistic opportunities.
Yeah, I saw that.
Surprise.
Okay. Evangelism.
And pizza.
Okay.
Is it Thursday? Men or is women rock on?
It's for young men, for mostly teenage boys who may be interested in going into the ministry. So that one's exclusively for young men. We have the Shiloh Institute. That takes place in New Hampshire. That's overseen by John Meether and Daryl Hart. That's for more college age, late in college, who might be interested in seminary. There again, they get another exposure to the OPC. That's a smaller group. That's up in the mountains, in the White Mountains. And then the internship program. This is obviously for seminary crowd. We've been part of that, and this church has long been involved in that. And I don't know how many interns, Mark, you've had, but I know a number of the names of the young men that have been here in this church, and that's continuing underneath Eric. This is a an excellent program. You may not know this, but in the PCA, you are required to do an internship, but you're kind of at the mercy of raising your funding. In the OPC, we actually do not require an internship, but we completely fund it. We have, on average, I'd say 12 to 16 summer interns, and right around that or a little bit less year-long interns. This year will probably cost us about $340,000 out of our committee's budget. It is a huge, huge commitment, but our church loves it. And it's such a help to these young men because it brings clarity to their sense of calling. And many times it means at the end of internship that they think, I shouldn't go in the ministry. That's helpful. It's brought clarity, right? And it's helpful for churches, too, and to be encouraged to see these young men coming up. That has been a tremendous program. Well, there's a vetting process. There's an application process to that. Our committee, the Subcommittee Ministerial Training, which I'm a part of, we approve every application of every church and every intern separately. And then we make recommendations, perhaps, of matching those individuals. Sometimes a church has already spoken to a young man and they want that particular individual. And then when the whole thing is done, we get all the evaluations. And we see not just numbers, but we read all the comments of those evaluations. Those are put before a committee. We go through them to see, you know, who's gotten really high marks, who's gotten low marks. Not just interns, but mentors. Over the time we've seen, we don't think this person is a suitable mentor. He's a good brother in the Lord, but we want to make sure we have the best mentors in front of our interns. This has been very, very valuable as a program, as you can imagine. And again, we're committed to it. And we've had to dip into our savings sometimes because we're so committed to this program. It reaches beyond, you know, what we've budgeted. But again, this is the heart and soul of what we do. The last thing I want to mention here in the subcommittee ministerial training is a ministerial training institute. This began in 1998. It began probably with a hope that it might become a sort of in-house seminary, something like that. And very early on, we realized that's not what we want to do. It started with just three classes. OPC history was one of them, taught by John Meether, who Eric used to work with. And I think it's one of the most valuable classes. The Reformed, the Westminster Standards was early on in that, and so was Reformed Worship. There used to be a class called Catechetics. Tom Tyson used to teach. It's about catechizing. We don't have that class any longer. But you can see here, we have about a dozen classes. And we so far have about 770 men who have gone through these classes over these years. And they're refined. All the syllabi have to be approved. And I'm not sure that we've had an evaluation process as thorough as we could, but we have looked at some of these classes, and based upon feedback, in some cases, we've revised them or asked the professor, you need to change this. This is not what is in best interest of our denomination, or things can be improved, things like that. So that's always being reevaluated. So that's the subcommittee on ministerial training. So that's anything that has to do essentially with discipling, especially ministers or prospective ministers of the gospel, interns, things of that line. But there is content that we deal with that you see appears under the CRC. We can get to that too. But any questions on this part, Troy?
Is there any discussion of having something like a Phoebe conference? Given the confusion, even within the OPC, I would say, of women's roles in the church, being at Westminster, you see women that are there, and I mean, I didn't go the direction of ministry, but I certainly value that education, but it seems like just with questions in society and in the church, with women's roles in ministry, that something like that would be edifying for women to be part of.
We've done some ad hoc conferences. So about 6 years ago, we did one on same-sex attraction and dealing with those issues. That was a pre-General Assembly conference. We invited some speakers. That was sponsored by our committee. So we've done conferences like that time to time. So I don't know about an ongoing, like a class or something like that, but we have done things like that before, to be sure. But that's something I can take back to the committee during it. There was somebody else, and then Elizabeth.
Yeah, on the training institute, where are these classes taught? Is there a location for that? It's not a seminary.
Yeah, no, it's not. This is a good question. And Carol, if there's anything you remember us talking about, make sure to raise it. I forgot to print my notes. It has all the good, juicy information on it. I'm going off one of these handouts, so. I mean, I'll still be able to fill the hour. Don't worry about that. But I think MTI, so what it is, there are classes going on right now. And what happens is at the beginning of usually it's along a calendar year, a school calendar year. So in this fall, students signed up and they receive assignments. And until about January, they have perhaps papers are sending in or have assignments are sending in, or the class I'm teaching right now, we have a Zoom discussion about every 3 weeks. We get everybody on there and talk about some of the issues that have come up or some of the readings and have some discussion that way. It used to be that what would happen is what would be sent to you is the books that you needed, all the reading, and then we got together for an intensive time only. So you never see these students. You might call each other, things like that, or email. So what will happen is this January, is it 16th or 18th?
17th.
17th? 17th to 20th. Our church is going to be hosting the intensive time. So we'll have about 30-something guys descending upon our church building, staying nearby, and we'll have these intensive times together, about 3 hours a day with these students, and basically having discussions, finishing up maybe a lecture material that we didn't get to during those Zoom talks, perhaps, things like that. So it's become semi-virtual. It used to be distant learning, and then it's always finished up with a week of intensive time together. And that intensive time here is so valuable because these men are meeting other guys they never talked to, but they're in the same class, they have the same questions, and there's a lot of offline discussion time, like around the lunch table and things like that, where you're following up on various, you know, questions that came up in the class. So I'm so glad you asked that question.
Maybe a follow-on question. Is there an expectation that if you want to pursue a ministry in the OPC that you take these classes?
You're earnestly encouraged. Not so much expected. I don't think they're taken advantage of as much as they should. We have some men that are routinely taking these classes. There are some that have taken virtually most of them. Some of these are very new, like the Hebrew refresher, that's new. Disability in the Church, that just began last year. Some of these have been around there a long time. Pastoral theology, Reformed evangelism, that's newer. Eric, how long has you guys been teaching that?
This will be, I think, the third or fourth time.
But you have some men that may have had an unusual seminary experience and never, like, say, went to a school that was more broadly evangelical, not Reformed, and never took a class on the doctrine of the Church. That's what the ecclesiology is. Or the form of government there, which is taught by Alan Strange, where they get into the questions of polity, things like that. A lot of seminaries, even Reformed ones, do not have a class on church polity. And so this becomes a really helpful way to remedy that. And that was part of the original idea, was to supplement what the men who started it saw perceived as weaknesses in some seminaries, even like a preaching class. And in one sense, preaching is a class we always, as preachers, could take. There's always room to grow in that particular gift. Heather, do you have a question?
Well, Eric was one of the first guys to go through all the classes offered, and even though he went to Westminster, it was very beneficial to him to receive continuing education in an OPC-specific realm. As a parishioner in the church, I saw how it directly benefited the church to have different pastors attend these.
Maybe just piggyback also with Hank's question. Am I right in remembering you don't have to be a seminary student or under care to take MTI classes, right? Like elders or members can take classes. Is that correct?
I don't think members and elders would be the exception. They're allowed.
Okay.
I don't think I've had any members in any of my classes. Okay. Maybe sitting in, but I think it's mostly ministers and seminary students. But definitely have had elders over the years, for sure. But I don't think it's open to members. Now, the disability in the church class, that was. We saw that as different. And they were strongly encouraged to come with their pastor or an elder in that church or some leader in the church. But that class is a little bit different that way. So Eric was in the very first class I taught. It was in La Mesa. And that was still in the OPC. I brutalized those guys. They probably read over 1,000 pages. We had an exam, because at that time we had to have final exams, our classes, which we've gotten rid of. I probably shouldn't tell you that. And they wrote a paper.
In how long a time?
It was a course of a semester, but it was a big commitment. We've really cut back on what they do. And I had a guy whining one time to me, and I said, oh, let me tell you a story. And so I told him about that. And also, remember, I don't want to get too far into this, but I was standing right next to Eric. We're about ready to have lunch. And I asked the question, what are we having? And he says, fish tacos. I said, what? There's no such thing as fish tacos. You don't put fish in tacos. And he looks at me, trust me. He said, trust me, you're going to love them. And I was the first guy up for seconds. You know, they were really outstanding. That was kind of a paradigm-shifting meal for me. Did you have a question, Elizabeth?
Hamas should be in last in the seminary.
How much did we invest in the seminary fund, the internship?
How much should we?
Should we?
Yeah.
Invest in the seminary fund? Do we have a seminary fund? You mean the internship program? That comes through our support of Worldwide Outreach. So when we take the thank offering, a portion of that, a third, let's say, goes to Christian Ed, and it goes to the things like this. So our church's contribution and the thank offering, it goes to those three committees, and one of them goes to this work. So I don't know the dollar amount. I would not be able to. You have to talk to Ray about that or Cindy. They could help you. Or SRC, Subcommittee on Resources for the Churches. This is amazing to me. I mean, there's about 10 different activities that our committee of 15 men and the staff and Danny oversee. New Horizons, if you think about how small our denomination is, some of the things we've come up with is pretty remarkable. And coming up with new content for New Horizons is not an easy task for our editors. And having writers come up with fresh material, and yet it's there every month. There's one issue a year is a double issue. An ordained servant is the same. It's filled with book reviews, helpful articles. But what one of the things that's kept us very, very busy has been the Trinity Psalter Hymnal. That was a joint venture of the URC and the OPC. And since our committee was the one that was behind this, it meant that our committee would meet extra times, and we sang through every setting that was nominated for all the Psalms. So we had these meetings, these special...
Yeah, can we blame you for taking out some of our favorites?
No, no, I'm very ready to dodge that. If you just give me some time, all right? This, let me make this beautiful cake, then you can step in it. Originally we were going to do this by ourselves, the OPC. And the Community Christian Ed was, we were dipping into our savings to do this. We believe so strongly in it. Found out the URC was doing something independent because they did not have any song book or any hymnal or psalter. And we joined hands together. And they were just magnificent in this and said, we want to help to carry 50% of the cost initially. And we found a real kindred spirit with them. But we met independently as committees. So our committee, Christian Ed, sang through all these different settings that would come to us and talk about a little bit. But it was a subcommittee, the Psalter Hymnal Psalter Committee, that made all the decisions. So I made no decisions about the tunes. You know, I did what I could, you know, made a plea for this or that. But nobody got everything they wanted, okay? It's okay. You're going to be all right. You know, if you need counseling, Lydia, I'll be happy to talk to you. And so there were some hymn sacrifice in that, to be sure, because wanting to include these psalm settings. We're on our fifth printing, and we've sold over, I'm going to say close to 70,000 copies. Over 94% of URC congregations have this in their Sunday worship. We're catching up still, and right now our biggest sellers are individual persons who order these copies. But we're on a fifth setting, and I forget what it is, but like the first printing, we found about 200 typos or errors. Second printing, it got cut to about a third of that. And that's been great about the printing is that we're catching these typos to make sure that it's as close to perfect as we can get it. But its success has just been wonderful, and people have been really responded to it. That took so much time, and that was a great feat. And I put the name Joel Pierce here because he's the one who came up with the app. It's available now for the Android, iOS. It plays a tune. I don't know if it plays all four parts. It does all kinds of things. It's only $10. So you can go to the Apple Store or Google Play, wherever it is that you do your thing, and it's there. The other thing I wanted to highlight, two things here, is the Great Commission publications. When the OPC was very, very young, so I think that this is 1961, the OPC, a denomination that was tiny, came up with its own hymnal on a shoestring budget. If you look at some of the tunes, you'd say, why would you not use the tune Philandia for Be Still My Soul? Why would you use Memores et Unde et Memores, which is now set to Psalm 34 in the Psalter hymnal? It's because we had no money. We could not afford the royalties for Be Still My Soul for Philandia for that tune. It's an amazing feat. If you ever wonder where the Red Trinity hymnal came from, it came from that blue one. It was revised when the PCA joined the OPC for Great Commission Publications. The OPC began Great Commission Publications. And that Red Trinity hymnal is a work of Great Commissions. Great Commissions does incredible work. And I wish I had time to lay before you all the curriculum that we hear about and review twice a year with the president of Great Commission Publications, Mark Lowry, starting from Tiny Tots, all the way to Show Me Jesus. I gave a couple in there to you. So What curriculum that's been revised for high schoolers, the junior high curriculum, all of that has been completely revised. It's amazing what GCP has done. And COVID was devastating. We thought we were going to lose GCP completely. But through the heroism and ingenuity of Mark Lowry, he has really literally rescued GCP. And put us back in a good place. But COVID has been so hard because what happened is most churches just stopped teaching Sunday school and stopped ordering curriculum. Well, curriculum is where GCP got its revenue. It was hard. COVID was really, really hard in so many ways, wasn't it? But GCP just does amazing work. And so I just want you to appreciate that that all came from the OPC. The other thing, too, is are these. This is the our BCO, Book of Church Order, which we publish as a Committee of Christian Ed, but also this. This was a tremendous effort to publish our doctrinal standards. The only version you could get was published by the PCA. It was filled with typos, and we wanted a good new edition. So the larger catechism alone... And we're going to the General Assembly 5 years in a row, working in an advisory committee, looking through every single scripture reference for the larger catechism. It was an incredible task. And we got it all done. I forget when this first appeared, several years ago. And to have it in a kind of a matching volume, 2005. And of course, the PCA comes along, does what it always does. Can we have it? It's like, okay. We do all that work and we do all the heavy lifting in the Reform world, but I'm just kidding. But we gave it to the PCA, and so they have it. And there's an imprint at the beginning, you know, that we got this from the OPC. And anyway, those little jabs are okay. It's men in Christian love. I love the people. Man, I paid my dues. You know, I was on the Board of Trustees of Covenant College for 8 years, repaying the debt I owe to the PCA. And you should pray for that church. We need them to be successful. Our success is tied to them. In so many ways, foreign missions, home missions, Great Commission publications. So I'm having fun, and maybe I should, because it does not really reflect how I feel about these brothers and sisters in the Lord. We also publish all kinds of literature, booklets, pamphlets. Eric's written a couple tracts. We're publishing those, but that's really probably more from home missions. I'm not sure, but all kinds of things like that. And then last of all, the Subcommittee on Internet Ministries, and what I should put it there, is the website. That website is so hungry. It wants new content all the time. And you go to that OPC webpage, which gets about a million hits per year. It's more than that, actually. But it's amazing how many hits it gets every month. It's in the hundreds of thousands. And people want to see fresh content. Well, to find authors for that opening web page, it takes a lot. And it's been revised a couple times, as I'm sure you've noticed. And it's a tremendous resource. And I think in third place of hits we get, it's United States first, then Canada, and then I think it's China. And just a reminder that having these resources online is so helpful to the wider church. The list of all the countries that where we get hits from on our website, it's so long, it's so impressive. But again, you know, I'd say pray for this committee. It's doing so much work. It's a group of 15 men, and all the staff and Danny Olinger. Every man on that committee is doing something. Every person is shouldering the load more than I've ever seen this committee work. We have tremendous unity, and that's how you should pray for us. You would not believe the letters we get for just New Horizons. This last year, we have been besieged with letters that are very upset with things that we've done in New Horizons. And we knew that. Stepping into, we're going to have articles on race and these other things, you're going to get hit. And our job is to try to serve the whole church and to be peacemakers, not provocateurs. That's always our goal. And so you could pray for us. And that then it's upon us to answer those letters in a Christian mature way and hold ourselves to a standard where we are always answering in a way. And so this means a lot of times at the General Assembly, pulling off a minister to the side who's angry with us and saying, how can we serve you? Let me hear your complaints. Why are you upset with us? And spending those hours or a subgroup of us meeting with a smaller group or somebody else, getting on the phone. That's an important part of what we do, because I would not represent our committee well if I did not tell you this. The way Danny Olinger always positions us, and we talk about this almost every meeting, says we are the servants of the other committees. We are servants of the church. We want to provide resources. We are not trying to lead the church. We're not trying to tell you how to do your work. We are servants, and to lay before you the best resources that we can. And where they're not good enough, to make them better. And to hear the complaints of the church, because a lot of times those complaints are very, very important, and they're good complaints. And so that's our job. Anyway, I think we're doing, you know, the best work we've ever done. But nobody in the committee is content with that. We keep adding new classes to MTI. We keep asking ourselves, how can we improve this or that? And reviewing the things that we're doing. So anyway, what questions do you have?
About developing and underdeveloping nations. How are they...
Developing what, Elizabeth? How are we developing...
Yeah. How is this accessible to the developing and underdeveloping nations.
Develop. Okay, how's this access? Probably mostly, the question is, how is this material available to developing nations, right? Is that your question? This material, or mostly through the website.
And what about for those who do not have access to the internet?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, we do ship some materials, but our responsibility... Christian's responsibility is mostly to feed the members of our church. There's some things we can make available to others. Mm-hmm. So, for instance, the Psalter hymnal and then the Red Trinity hymnal are used by churches outside the OPC or the PCA. There's independent churches, Baptist churches that use the material. Mm-hmm. Great Commission publications, probably right now is serving as many Baptist churches as it is OPC PCA churches who want that curriculum. I think it's the best curriculum out there in the Reformed world.
Okay.
And maybe not every aspect of it, but so that stuff is available. It can be shipped to people. But mostly, in the situation you're talking about, it would be mostly through the internet, probably. That's how somebody would access it. Anybody else?
I just want to say that I have the hymn app. And the description said that you could play any hymn, which is true. But it also says you could create playlists. And I just want to share that the playlist doesn't continuously run for every hymn that you have selected. I don't know if that was the intent or not, but I wish it would just keep playing the hymns that I have in my playlist.
The whole list.
Yeah, over it, just loop through it.
It plays all the verses, all the stanzas of each one.
It only plays one.
There's a setting on that. There's a setting for to have it playing just one stanza or all the stanzas. Yeah. So at the very bottom, I can show you.
Very good.
Just go like that. just like this.
And it's good to know.
But I don't know about the list, but cycling through the whole list. That's interesting.
I created a list, but it plays one, and then I have to click on the other one. It'll be nice if you just loop.
So what you can do, you go to Trinity Psalter Hymnal. It's a website, .org or whatever, .com. And you can send an email to Joel Pierce with that question.
Okay.
That's what I love about a small church. You actually can talk to somebody. And if you'll get him that way, let me know, and I'll get you his phone number. He's just done great work for us. Just tremendous work.
Sounds good.
The question? Elizabeth? Let's see what anybody else says. Question?
You highlighted that MPI will be here in January, and I can't remember if you highlighted opportunities to serve, because I do think there are going to be some. This might be an opportunity to plug that. Jason is not here. I don't know if Dee wants to highlight things that we'll need from people while MPI is here.
We're going to need teams to work each meal Monday night, Tuesday, and Wednesday, lunches and dinners, and then snacks for Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And we will also possibly need drivers to fetch from the airport, bring them to the hotel, and maybe drivers in the morning to bring them from the hotel over to here. Those are all questions that Pat Clausen is working on, and she has to wait until the men respond to her as to how many cars are
right.
be rented, that kind of thing. But yeah, I sent out an email to the ladies of the church, and many of them have responded. And Jason is being a powerhouse.
Great.
He's heading it up.
Good. That's a good. Okay. Well, pray for Committee on Christian Ed and for our labor. And it's a pleasure to serve, and it's really wonderful. Every General Assembly, I just get overwhelmed when I hear the report and just all the work that's being done. It's just, and pray for Danny Olinger. I should have said this too. He was 23 days in the ICU unit because of COVID last year. We did not know if we would have Danny at this General Assembly. He's still recovering, but God was very merciful to us to spare him. We're really grateful for that. But do pray for him. He has a lot on his shoulders. So let's pray.
Pastor, real quickly, Olinger is a name we see a lot, and we see Diane's name down here.
Yep, and Catherine.
And also, I've been working with Catherine.
Olinger.
Can you tell us the relationship?
Sure. Diane is his wife.
Danny's wife?
Yes. Okay. And then Catherine is their oldest, their daughter.
Oh, okay.
Yep.
Thank you.
I'm going to pray, then you could ask me. All right, let's pray. Our gracious God and Father, we do thank you for those that serve us on all levels here in this congregation, at the level of presbytery and our denomination. And we thank you, Father, for the way in which you have made us participants as we send money to worldwide outreach, and how that money is a part of funding some of these important activities, some of them truly life-changing, and providing these resources that encourage brothers and sisters in Christ to grow in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You've called each and every one of us to participate through prayer for one another and for all these things. And we remember too, Father, that the Orthodox Presbyterian Church has such a small part in that wider efforts of the people of God, and yet you have told us that he was faithful in small things will be faithful in much. And so, Father, help us to be faithful with the portion you've given to us. It is enough. It is enough for us. And we thank you that your grace is sufficient for us to pursue it with all of our heart and to do all these things as unto Christ. And we pray foremost that it is his name that would be published and confessed and loved in all the world. This we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.